I want to ask you to turn with me to what I think is a very important passage of Scripture on this particular Sunday morning, 2 Kings chapter 22. Over these last few weeks, we've been talking about Josiah, and I want to talk to you this morning about the nation that God will bless. I think there are some principles laid out in God's Word that when it comes to God's hand being upon a people and God blessing a nation, this is more than just what a weird preacher in Missouri desires for his country. This is what God has laid out in His Word to say, if you want me to bless you, if you want your nation to prosper and do well, then you do this, you do this, you do this, you do this, and you look and see if I will not pour out a blessing upon you such as you cannot receive. This morning we're looking again at the life of Josiah, a very familiar story by now. Josiah, when he was 8 years old, was made king of Judah. Judah is the southern two tribes of Israel. Israel is the 10 northern tribes. By this time, there's been a separation. And years have passed since Solomon had a united kingdom. And Israel had wandered off, way off the path, gotten way away from God. And as a result, the Assyrians had come down and carried Israel captive, and now the Babylonians were at the gates. This was a dangerous time to be living in the land of Judah, those two southern tribes. And so what do you do when you put an 8-year-old on the throne? You better surround him with good people. You better lift him up to the Lord. You better pray for him, because you put an 8-year-old on the throne, he's got to have some wisdom to come from somewhere. So they put an 8-year-old on the throne. His name is Josiah. When he is 16, he begins to seek after the Lord. And the Word of God tells us he begins to repair some things, straighten some things out in the land, all across the land of Judah, all around Jerusalem. And then while they're in the midst of repairing the temple, which had fallen in disrepair, I mean, idols had been brought into the most holy place in all of Judah, in all of the world, as a matter of fact. And so while he's repairing it, they find the book of the Lord, and they begin the book of the law, Moses' book, and they read it. And when Josiah hears it, he tears his clothes. And then he says, gather all the people together, because everybody needs to hear this. And so they begin to read the book. And the people stand there and they hear it. And the Bible says they step up to the plate and they covenant together that the Lord, He is God. And they're going to serve the Lord. And they're going to follow after the Lord. And then the Bible tells us that they begin to cleanse the land. They begin to clean everything up. And all the things that had been going on for years that were displeasing to the Lord, they are addressing. They're not ignoring. They're not putting a Band-Aid on these things. They're addressing them the best that they possibly can. And then there comes a day when they have what is described in chapter 23 as the greatest observance of the Passover they've had since the days of Samuel. And God blesses them. It might surprise you this morning to understand something. God really does want to bless America. We kind of have the idea that God is a cursing God. That's kind of what gets presented a lot of times. Like He is a big old powerful God, but He's kind of got a streak in Him that He likes to drop justice on people. He likes to drop judgment on people. I would remind you of why Jesus came into this world. The Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 17, that He came into this world not to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. What God desires for you this morning, every individual in this building today, is not that we live under the condemnation of His judgment. God desires more than anything that we live in the light and the glory of the blessings of God to be poured out upon us. Individually, the best thing that can ever happen to you is for you to come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, because He does such a marvelous change in your life, and you enter the place where you were not blessed, but now suddenly you're in a place where you are blessed, and that is what God wants for every individual. And I would say to you this morning that what God wants for our entire nation is He just simply wants to bless this nation. God wants us to have something to celebrate, something more than the Chicago Cubs to celebrate. God wants us to have something more to celebrate. And God really would rather bless this nation than judge this nation. And yet, we know according to God's word that he cannot overlook sin. He can't turn away from our sin. He can't turn away from the ugliness of sin. But he did something about it. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 85, verse 10, that that righteousness and peace have kissed each other. That's kind of an odd way to put it, but here's the thing. God, who is a righteous God, and we're not a righteous people. God, who is always at peace, and we're never at peace. And how can righteousness and peace ever come together? It did come together on the cross of Jesus Christ. That's the main place. That is the place where it all came together. It can only happen at the cross. The Bible tells us in Psalm 33:12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. So rather than ask what kind of a nation will God condemn, let's ask the question this morning, what kind of a nation will God bless? Well, number one, a nation with a leader who will seek the Lord. A nation with a leader who will seek the Lord. Look in chapter 22. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jedidiah, the daughter of Adiah of Boscath. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and he walked in all the way of David his father. He turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. A nation that God would bless has a leader who would seek the Lord. Is that so far-fetched? And I mean, even in some places in our society, we would say, well, that is just unreasonable. And as a matter of fact, that's just plain unconstitutional. I mean, we are so dumb. We are. And so, generation after generation after generation after generation, it's like, this shouldn't even enter in the picture. But the truth is, it has to enter into the picture, because if you'll notice a pattern in God's word that God has blessed every nation who's had a leader who sought the Lord. You look at the history of Israel, and you'll see that the most blessed times that the people of Israel ever had was when they had a leader who sought the Lord. Moses, Aaron, Joshua, Gideon, Samuel, David, Solomon, Hezekiah, Josiah. I mean, now we're at a point where Judah's only two tribes. They're not nearly as strong as they were at one earlier period of their history. And so there's just two. They're just a small, but they don't have a whole lot to celebrate. One part of their nation's already been carried off into captivity. Captivity is at the gate. They've just got this little bitty time, all that for one more time in the history of our nation, we could have something to celebrate. What do I want in a nation's leader? What do I want in a leader? We're going to polls, unless I'm badly mistaken. We're going to polls on Tuesday, right? And aren't you tired of hearing about it? When you come to church and here I am talking about it. I mean, the president, Barack Obama, called my house last night. He didn't hear a thing I said. What do I want in a leader? I want a leader who seeks the Lord. Jehovah God, the God of the Bible. I don't want a leader that seeks after Allah or Buddha or a Hindu deity or who is an atheist or an agnostic. I want a leader who loves Jesus. That's what I want. My number one prayer for our president is that whoever he or she may be, that they would get saved. You say, now, Brother Mike, you're judging, you're saying right now they're not saved. Okay, so let's say if Hillary gets elected president, then I'm going to pray that she gets on her knees and begins to confess her sin to the Lord Jesus Christ and cries out for his forgiveness in her life. You say, well, what about if Donald gets elected? If Donald gets elected, I'm going to pray that he gets on his knees before his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and acknowledges him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords and confesses to God and cries out to him, because I want a leader who is genuinely, truly, 100%, without a doubt, a lover of Jesus Christ. And I don't know that either one of these two know the Lord like I'm talking about. So you say, does that mean you're not going to go vote? Of course I'm going to go vote. I'm going to tell you you need to go vote. But I'm telling you, when the voting is all over, whether it is Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton, we need to be praying that God would save their souls and forgive their sins. We can't do that. Jesus has to do that. I can't save them. You can't save them. The American public can't save them. But Jesus can save them. And then God's word says that they would do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with their God. Oh, that's what we want. Nations are blessed when they have leaders who seek the Lord. Solomon was blessed as he looked to God for wisdom. It was when our leaders turn to other gods that the troubles get going. That's what happened in Israel and Judah. Number two, the nation God would bless, number one, would have a leader that seeks the Lord. The nation, number two, that God would bless would be a nation that honors his word. A nation that honors his word. The Bible says in chapter 23, verse 2, and the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great, and he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant which was found in the house of the Lord. And what was the reaction? They honored the word of God. God blesses the nation that honors his word. Now hear me. They rediscovered the law, and they aligned themselves. They aligned themselves. There was an alignment that took place. Your car ever gets out of the line, it might pull to the right, it might pull to the left. Now, when it's in perfect alignment, it's going to go just straight ahead as it ought to be. This is what happened in the life of Josiah. He didn't go to the left hand. He didn't go to the right hand. He went right straight ahead because his life was in line with the Lord. And God blesses a nation that reads the book of the Lord and seeks to do what the book says to do. That's what I want for our nation. I want a nation that honors his word. There's no substitute for following the book if we wish to have the blessings of the Lord. And I hear someone say, you can't legislate righteousness. And I understand that. I understand what they're saying. But the truth is, we do it all the time. We call it law and order. But I know, righteousness does not proceed from the outside to the inside. Righteousness starts on the inside. It's a matter of the heart. It works itself out. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It begins in the heart. It works itself out. So there's always going to be this struggle. And in our lives, there is never going to be perfection. I'm not talking about being a nation that is absolutely perfect, but I am talking about a nation that honors the word of the Lord. Just follows the book. Now, here's what I'm talking about. If we follow the book, our culture in this country would change. If we follow the book, abortion centers all across this nation would close. If we followed the book, there would be no unwanted. People say, well, you know, then we'd have unwanted children. If we followed the book, there would be no unwanted children. Every child would be wanted. If we followed the book, no baby would be sacrificed on the altar of sexual freedom or sexual addiction or career advancement if we follow the book. If we follow the book, we would watch divorce rates in our nation drop dramatically. Family life would get stronger. Biblical marriage would be restored. Children would have two parents. Daddies would stay home. It would transform our inner cities if we follow the book. Poverty rates would drop, and the impoverished would be so, if they were impoverished, it would be for some reason other than what the book says. Sexual identity issues would be settled. Fathers would be fathers. Mothers would be mothers. Fathers would father and mothers would mother if we followed the book. And I would say this. Moms who decide to stay home and raise their children will not be penalized when they try to get insurance. if we follow the book. When these things happen, and men and women seek after God, we'd see something amazing happen. Our witness would expand. You'd watch the power of God at work transforming, changing lives if we followed the book. The discussions would not be about sexual preference or even what kind of sex you are if we followed the book. If we follow the book, there'd be no racism. Do you hear me? If we follow the book, there would be no racism in this country. Because the Bible says, that's right, amen. Because the Bible says, He has made us all of one blood. If we followed the book. If we follow the book, the churches of our country would be full. And people would seek the Lord. Because the nation is blessed that follows the book. My idea is not my idea. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. If we want God to bless our nation again, then we're going to need leaders that are going to seek after Jesus Christ. If we want God to bless our nation again, then we're going to have to be people that follow after the Word of God and seek out of the book. And if we want God to bless our nation, we have to be a nation that keeps our covenant with God. Listen to what the Bible says in verse 3 of chapter 23. And the king stood by a pillar, and he made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord, to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart, all their soul, to perform the words of the covenant that were written in this book. And all the people stood to the covenant. They were not ashamed. They were not embarrassed to embrace the God of Israel. You cannot ignore God except in desperate times and expect God to bless you. I'll just be real honest with you. It bothers me sometimes when I will be a group of people or gathering or at a ball game or whatever, and we'll all stand and sing God Bless America, and I'm thinking, can God really bless America when we refuse to even acknowledge Him? So we look at matters of the heart, and Israel began with a covenant, when a covenant was made between Abraham and God. And in Genesis chapter 15, this is what God said, "Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield, thy exceeding great reward." And he brought him forth abroad and said, "Look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them." And he said unto him, "So shall thy seed be." And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. God promised to bless Abraham and his descendants. Not just Abraham and his descendants, but everyone who was also a friend to Abraham and his descendants. When they rebelled, he chastised them. But when they turned to him, he stood by the promise. The nation that renews its covenant with the Lord will know God's blessing. We are not Israel, so we are not under Abraham's covenant. And there's no such thing as a dual covenant. And there's no such thing really as a replacement covenant. But the principle of following after, believing in the Lord has not changed. We are praying for His kingdom to come. We are praying His will to be done. And John and I and Gary were just back here praying just a little bit ago. And my prayer for our nation is that we fit in God's plan. Whatever God's plan for this world is, that we can really truly pray, "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done." Not the kingdom of the United States of America, but the kingdom of our God. "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done." Where do we fit in Bible prophecy? I don't know, but I want God's kingdom to come, God's will to be done. The covenant that Josiah honored was expressed in 2 Kings chapter 23. And the king stood by the pillar, made a covenant before the Lord, and the people stood to it. Their God was Jehovah. Others were free to worship as they chose to, but their God was Jehovah. There was only one God, and they were going to honor Him. That was the basis of their covenant. They were not ashamed of the Lord their God. They would have had no problem mentioning Him in a public square or mentioning Him in the education process. They were not ashamed of their God. They understood, where would they be without the Lord? Where would they be without the Lord? If it hadn't been for the Lord, I can tell you, folks, if it hadn't been for the God of this book, where would we as a nation be? He was there in the late 16th century, stirring in the hearts of a group of people that would eventually become called pilgrims. He was there. He was working in their life. They made their way out of England and slipped over to Holland for a period of time. He was there. He was working their lives to guide them by destiny and put them on the shores of this country. He was there. He was working in the founding of our nation. He was there. He was working in an awakening that took place in the early 1700s, stirring the hearts of God's people to turn toward him. In the establishment of all the great educational institutions in this nation, God was at work. When the states began to come into, God was at work. And you read about our revolution that broke us free from England. God was at work. And I'll tell you, God has been at work all along. Dear people, do not be afraid to acknowledge him. Number four, God will bless a nation that rejoices in the redemption and the Redeemer. Chapter 23, verse 22 says these words, "Surely there was not held such a Passover from the days of the judges that judged Israel, nor in the days of the kings of Israel, nor of the kings of Judah." You see, they were seeking after the Lord, and as such, there was a great celebration. Well, what's that got to do with redemption and Redeemer? It's got everything to do with redemption and Redeemer. What do you honor at Passover? You don't honor the strength of Moses for leading you out. You don't honor Aaron for being the brother of Moses. You don't honor the fact that you were a slave down there. You honor the one who came and picked you up and brought you out with a high and mighty hand. A lamb's blood was shed and put over the door of every household there. And everybody, whether they were Egyptian or Jew, that was under the blood, they were kept safe through the night. God brought them out. Well, I want to tell you, folks, that God would bless a nation that would rejoice in the redemption and the Redeemer that comes through Jesus Christ. Jesus is our Redeemer. The redemption comes through Jesus Christ. And so they understood that they were in bondage and slavery in Egypt. They could do nothing about it. All they could do was cry out to God, and he heard and moved on their behalf. He sent Moses, and it set off an epic battle between Jehovah and the gods of Egypt. God destroyed those gods. The God with a big G destroyed all the gods with a little g. And finally, even the firstborn of the Egyptians and all who was not under the blood. And through the blood with a mighty hand, he brought them out. Don't you forget. That's what Passover meant. Don't ever forget. Sit down and set the table. Light the candle. Set a place for a prophet that was yet to come. The thing that our dear Jewish friends have missed out on is that the prophet has already come. His name is Jesus. He is the Messiah. He has come. And in our nation, we need to get back to celebrating Jesus Christ. Now, I'm talking about the old-time religion. And we used to sing that song, "Give Me That Old-Time Religion." You're saying, "Brother Monty, you're talking about a day that will never come again." Let me tell you, Jesus will come again. And this whole world is going to be set straight when he does come again. Deliverance will come because the deliverer is going to come. And the preaching of the cross. Now get this. The preaching of the cross is to them which perish foolishness, but to us that are saved is the power of God, the wisdom of God. It is the preaching of the cross that brings us salvation. We're looking for a day when we can celebrate again. Look, we need a revival across this country. We need a movement of God's Holy Spirit, but there's not any movements of the Holy Spirit that are not centered in the cross of Jesus Christ, because it is at the cross where we find the light. It's the power that is in the blood that rolls away all of our sin, gives us cleansing. It is the work of God. And you know what? When all that is done, when the cross of Christ is lifted and Jesus is lifted and the resurrection is lifted and hearts are lifted and we all turn toward the Lord and we see God move in a great way, he gives us something to celebrate. Oh, God, there's not much to celebrate in this country. We need something to celebrate. I can tell you we're going to get up on November the 9th and somebody new is going to be elected to be president. And there's going to be folks, there's going to be about half of this country is going to be happy and another half that's going to be unhappy, or there's going to be half of a half that's going to be somewhat happy and some of that's going to be really happy and all of that. And the bottom line, it comes right down to this. There's only one real reason to celebrate, and that is that God loves us and sent his son to be our Savior, and we trust him as our Savior, and that's what it's all about. God blesses the nation that remembers the cross. We get back to being a nation that rejoices in this great message, and then we have put ourselves in a place where we can be blessed. God wants to bless us. The question is, are we blessable? Will you prepare your heart for the blessing that God wants to send? Bow your head with me this morning. Just like you with your heads bowed this morning, I don't think there's any of us here but what are burdened for our nation. If you are one that think that everything's fine and there's nothing wrong with our nation, then obviously we're reading different writing. We're watching different news stories. Oh, how we need for God to bless our nation. That he would open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon us. Question is, are we blessable? God wants to bless you. There are those in this building this morning that have never come to this cross of Christ, have never said to the one who died on the cross for their sins, Lord, would you be merciful to me, a sinner? And as sure as I stand in front of this building this morning, I can tell you that if you will cry out to the Lord, he will hear your cry. More important than who wins the election on Tuesday is your eternal salvation. So do you know the Lord? Are you playing a game? Just a religious game? Or do you truly know the Lord? Have you come to the cross of Christ and ask him for forgiveness? Will you call upon him this morning? And you can say, Lord Jesus, forgive me. Come into my life. Save me. Heavenly Father, We operate today under a heavy burden. We've watched our nation as it is moved. You know everything behind the scenes. You know a battle is going on that we can't even see behind what we can see. And yet we proclaim this morning that you are King of kings and Lord of lords. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? We ask you to bless America and make us blessable, Lord. Your mercies, they fail not. At the cross of Christ, righteousness and peace meet together. Draw this nation to you, Lord. And do whatever you must do to do that, that we will be right with you. This we pray this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.